All right, short little video. I've been seeing videos each week, but that little video was a teaser kind of promoting this series that we've been working through if you've been here the last few weeks. And believe it or not, they actually sell upside-down Christmas trees. Did you guys know that? I actually saw one for sale. It was like a year or two ago in JCPenney's. I had seen one for sale, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool idea. Now I'd worry about it like tipping over maybe. I don't know. But what's funny is I was back at JCPenney's this week because I was hoping to have one. I thought, wouldn't that be cool for our series to have an upside-down Christmas tree? But unfortunately, they didn't have any upside-down Christmas trees. They were all sold out, or they don't sell them anymore, probably because they kept falling on children or something. Yay, look at this toy I got, you know, at Christmas or something. So maybe it's a bad idea. But if you've been with us, you know that we're kind of in this series, Advent Conspiracy, and that we've literally been doing that. We've been kind of turning Christmas upside down from the way the world knows Christmas. And so I shared with you a story of a group of pastors who got together back in 2006 and began to talk about Christmas because they realized that what Christmas had become and what Christmas was supposed to be were really two different things. And so these pastors started talking about how they could do something different in their churches. How they could take what Christmas had become and literally, like that video, turn it upside down from what the world knows of Christmas. And it's out of those conversations that this movement known as Advent Conspiracy came about. And it's a movement, basically, that's been happening for the last 10 years where churches are encouraging their congregations to really take a moment to stop and to think about what Christmas is really about. And so this Advent Conspiracy, as we've been walking through it, it's been challenging us to do four things this Christmas. Worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first one. We talked about this idea to worship fully, of worshiping the Lord. And again, I shared the fact that we won't be able to be people who spend less, who give more, who love all, if we aren't learning to worship fully, because that's where it starts. It starts with worship to the Lord. And then last week, we talked about spending less. And I mentioned that this is probably the toughest one for most of us in our society, in this day and age. And a big reason for that is because of this culture that we live in, this overindulging culture, right, that wants more and more, this culture that isn't afraid to pull out the little plastic thing and swipe it, right, to spend money, and they often, in doing so, find themselves in debt. And so I challenge us to take time again to just really think and to maybe even rebel a little. I talked about how Jesus came against culture when he came here, and that maybe we should rebel a little bit against our culture and how we do Christmas. Instead of just, you know, throwing money at gifts, to stop and to think about how we give, what we give, why we give, which is going to lead us kind of into our topic today, which is the third thing here in Advent Conspiracy, which is give more. Now, some might say, isn't it impossible to spend less and give more? It seems like I'm contradicting myself here. But the key here in this concept is understanding what is meant by giving more, because it doesn't just involve money. When people talk about giving to others at Christmas, where do they tend to go? What do they tend to talk about? They tend to think about presents. They tend to think about gifts. That's what comes to their mind when we think about giving at Christmas. And so I want to ask this question. Anybody have an idea of where this whole Christmas giving tradition came from? Any ideas? Wise men, okay. I heard Germany. Is there someone tied to that Germany? St. Nicholas, okay? So you guys are hitting on him, right? So I Googled this question because I really kind of wanted to find out where this whole thing began. And so you get all sorts of answers. But as I Googled this question, it really pointed to two main ideas, okay? Two main ideas. I guess when I put two up on both hands, it's four. And so I think one, two, three. Yeah, I can still count. They count differently in school nowadays, math. It just throws me off, so I'm not sure if I did it right to begin with or if I was wrong or what. I don't know. Anyways, but Google pointed to two main ideas. The first talked about a Christian bishop by the name of St. Nicholas. And he was known for his generosity as one who regularly would give gifts to those who were less fortunate. Now, I guess, too, as I studied into this and looked at this, at this time of St. Nicholas, kids were being forced to grow up a lot quicker than they are today. I read some things. At age 5, kids started helping with household work and preparing dinner, making dinner preparations, okay, at age 5. And by age 8, many of them were beginning to work to help earn money for their families. And so because of this fact, St. Nicholas was known for giving toys to children to help them hold on to and even cherish their childhood, to not let them grow up too quick in a world that was forcing them to grow up too quick. It almost seems like St. Nicholas was coming against culture here in his time as he gave these gifts. And so this is where we get this general idea of old Saint Nick, right? Which has obviously grown into much more over the years, to this whole idea of Santa Claus and Saint Nicholas and giving and giving and all these things. Now, why it was tied to Christmas time, why this whole idea of Saint Nicholas was tied to Christmas, I don't know. But somewhere along the line, it became what we know for most people in our culture as Christmas today. Now, the other idea, which many people believe, is that the tradition of gift-giving started much, much earlier, which we heard there. Many people believe that the tradition of gift-giving started in the early years of Christ's birth with the three wise men who brought gifts to honor and to worship Jesus. Many of us are familiar with this story. And I said three wise men, but we don't even really know how many wise men there were, okay? I just realized as I looked at my notes there, my nephew found that out. I don't know, he was 9 or 8, and he's like, why did they always have three wise men? It doesn't say anything about three wise men in the Bible, right? I don't know where. I think because of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there were three things, so that's why they believe that there were three wise men, but there might have been more. You know, there might have been like 2 bags of gold and 5 bags of frankincense and 1 bag of myrrh. 9. There could have been 9 wise men, okay? As I do the math there in my head again. So, many of us are familiar with this story and how they brought gifts to Jesus to worship Him and to praise Him. Now, if this is where the gift-giving began, somewhere over the years, it kind of made this shift of instead of giving gifts to honor the Lord, giving gifts to one another. And so I don't know how that came about. But regardless of where this tradition came from, the fact is we cannot deny that Christmas is about giving. It's about giving. It's always been about giving. From day one, that's what Christmas was about. And the key is understanding the heart behind the giving. It's not just giving to give. It's understanding why. Why are we giving? What are we giving for? In Isaiah, it prophesies about the coming of Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given," right? Is given. And then in John 3:16, a scripture we all know, one of the most, memorized scriptures in the Bible, the first part of it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave. Now, I know that the heart of this scripture is the sacrifice of Jesus, of what He gave upon the cross. But it all started with Christmas. It all started with Him coming to this earth. You can find numerous scriptures throughout the Bible talking about Jesus being given to us and how He then later gave His life for us. The heart of Christmas has to do with giving. It always has. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't give us presents. I can't even quite get that out. I need to drink some water here. He didn't give us presents with a T. He gave us His presence with a C, right? He gave us His presence. He gave us Himself. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." And when it says the Word, it's referring to Jesus there. Jesus became flesh and He made His dwelling among us. He came and He lived with us. As Alan Hirsch puts it, He moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that cool? Jesus moved into our neighborhood. This is why we call Him Emmanuel. When we talked about names of Jesus earlier in our service, Emmanuel, one of the names of Jesus, it means what? God with us, right? It means God with us. He came to be with us on this earth. Now, He could have stayed up in heaven. He could have given us a gift from afar, but it wouldn't have done what it did. It wouldn't have been as meaningful as it was for him coming. Because it couldn't have done the same thing. It wouldn't have saved our lives. And so instead, He gave up His comfortable place in heaven to come down here to be with us, to come and to dwell amongst His people. He gave us Himself. He gave Himself as a gift, and it was a gift that was more costly, ultimately, in the end, than anything He could have ever bought for us. It cost Him more than anything else. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, when was the last time that we gave of ourselves at Christmas? Now, I'm not saying some of you haven't, because I hope that some of you are, but that's that heart and that idea. When was the last time we gave of ourselves at Christmas? You see, it's so easy for us nowadays to go onto Amazon.com, to pick a little gift, have it sent right to their house, and to never have to think about it, right? A gift that really meant nothing, and you know that they get and go, "Oh, that's cool. Throw it in the pile with the other things I'm not going to play with the rest of the year," right? Or not going to touch the rest of the year. It's so easy for us to do that, to give a gift that means nothing, that really took little effort. But this idea of Advent conspiracy, this idea of turning Christmas upside down is saying, what if we gave differently this year? What if we gave gifts that actually took a little time, a little effort, a little thought, instead of just money? What if we took time to actually give something that means something? On the Advent Conspiracy website, they used to have, I don't know if they still do, they used to have these stories of how people gave differently at Christmas. And I remember one of the stories I read on there a few years ago, a year or two ago, I can't remember when it was, but it was a story about a son who gave his father a bag of gourmet coffee beans. Now you think, well, okay, what's so special about a bag of gourmet coffee beans? But the thing is there was a special note that came with that bag of coffee. And it said this, it said, "Dad, the only time you can drink this coffee is if you're drinking it with me. We will set up a regular time for us to have coffee together. and for us just to be able to sit and talk about our lives, and for you to be able to just tell me stories. It wasn't just a present. It wasn't just a bag of gourmet coffee beans. It was a gift that involved His Son's presence. It involved giving of Himself, taking time to go and to be with His dad and to sit with His dad and to listen to His dad and to have time with His dad. What if we rethought the kind of gifts that we give at Christmas time? What if we were to, instead of just push the button on Amazon, what if we were to make things ourselves? Or to give gifts that involve us giving of our time to the ones that we love. Instead of just giving a gift, giving them something that we can do with them, hang out with them, shows them how much we love them. This year, it's so funny, as I'm working on my message, and I think my kids are all serving downstairs and my wife is serving downstairs this morning. I'm just like scanning real quick because sometimes my daughter isn't down there and has to come up because there's no kids. But as I'm doing this week, I'm thinking, number one, we've processed over the last several years of rethinking how much money we spend at Christmas. And so our kids know we're not going to get a lot of money. And one of the things we said this year is, your main gift this year is the fact that we're driving to San Diego to see Grandma and Grandpa and be there. And so we're not going to have money to spend. It's us as a family getting to be with family, and that's kind of Christmas. And so we had little small amounts, little things that we were going to do. And so in my mind, I was like, yep, okay, we're good. But then I was just challenged about, have I really thought about things I can give my family this year for Christmas? And so this week, I realized, okay, what can I do? Well, some of you may know all the graphics and things for our church. I'm a graphics guy. That's kind of the way my works. That's a gift that I have. And so I thought, well, hey, I can create and make some special things for my kids. And so it's just staying up late at night when the kids go to bed, my wife goes to bed, taking extra time to work, to process, to think through something that will mean something to them, that tells them how much I love them and communicates to them that I did, that doesn't cost me a lot of money. It just cost me some time. And so it's those kind of things of what if we rethink the kind of gifts, if we make them, if we put that effort into them, if we give of ourselves in the process instead of just throwing money at people at Christmas this year. Because Jesus set the tone. He gave us Himself at Christmas. And here's the other thing about this gift that Jesus gave us. It was the fact that it was so personal. Listen to Luke 2:11. I love this. It says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, did you catch what it says in the middle there? It's not quite the middle word. It's close. It says, a Savior has been born to who? To you. It specifically says you. So as you read that, it's personal. It's not just to Matt or just to Rick or just to Darren. When you read that, it says, a Savior has been given to you. Put your name in there. Let's read that, and I want you to put your name in there instead of you. Let's read it together. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to Darren. He is the Messiah, the Lord. It was personal. Jesus' gift was for you, and you've heard me say this before, that if you were the only person on this earth, or if, even worse than that, if you were the only person that ever sinned, right? He would have still come, and He would have still died for you. It was a gift for you. He knew exactly what you needed, what each of us individually needed. We needed Him. Any of you ever opened up a gift, and you immediately knew that that person doesn't know you at all? Right? Oh, a brand new Snuggie. Just what I always wanted. Thank you so much. I'm the one that's always hot and warm. I don't want anything on me, right? How'd you guess? This is perfect for me. And in black and orange, too. Or maybe you were on the other side of that, right? Where you got a gift for someone and you had put no thought into it and you just hoped maybe they'll like this. We've all probably done that at some time or another through the years. But the fact is, that is opposite of personal, right? It's opposite of personal. I'm one that honestly would rather get nothing than to get something that is just going to go into my junk drawer, okay? And I'm not saying, I mean, I know little trinkets and little things, and that's great, and that's a nice thing. I'm not trying to say that. I always get myself in trouble this time of year as I talk about these things. Honestly, I would just love a card that says, thinking about you, love you, than a trinket that means nothing to me, honestly. Because I keep those cards. And I'll tell you, on those days when I get those nasty emails and when things are rough and hard as a pastor, which some of you probably never even know those days exist, but you know, when you got the people saying, what, you said this, you said that, it's wrong, man, have you read your Bible, are you even da-da-da-da, you know, you get these emails or whatever, and it's those days that I go to those cards and I open them up and it says, we love you. You may not be a perfect pastor, but we still love you. You know, I mean, even just words like that, we still love you. And honestly, that means more to me than getting those things that will just go into the junk drawer. Giving more, basically, this is what I'm saying, doesn't mean more useless gifts. Honestly, like I said, those things, they don't show how much we care. It's not giving of ourselves. Giving more means taking time to really think about the people we're buying for, why we're buying it, what we're buying. Now, it doesn't mean we can't buy cool gifts, because I know there are things that people would enjoy, you know? I mean, I remember I don't buy duck jerseys because they're too expensive, okay? But my dad, he goes, this is a Christmas birthday combo, don't tell your sisters, okay? Because he doesn't spend this kind of money on me usually. But he bought me, when Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy, he bought me a Marcus Mariota jersey. And I'm like, okay, I know my dad spent money on that, but it was one of the coolest things, because my dad knew and knows me and knows I'm a huge Duck fan and knows how much I love Marcus Mariota. So I know that there are times that we spend money and can be very thoughtful and can be wonderful gifts, okay? But it doesn't have to be that sometimes. And again, it comes back to what we talked about last week. Do we have the money to spend? Because that's what that comes down to in some of those things. But it really means taking time to think about the people that we're buying for. To the point where we can honestly say, I got this for you. Or I made this for you. Or I did this for you because I knew that you would enjoy it. Now here's the thing. This can be extremely difficult to do at times. It can even be inconvenient. The truth is, this kind of giving comes at a cost, right? But isn't this the very example that Jesus displayed for us? I want to finish with one last scripture this morning. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says this, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's describing Jesus. It's describing what he did. Jesus gave everything. This is why he came. This is what Christmas was all about. And so as we think about the fact that Christmas is really all about giving, we have to realize that some 2,000 years ago, that giving was a lot different than the giving that we see at Christmas today. Jesus gave of himself, and it was very personal, and it came at a great cost. And so as Christmas approaches, I encourage you. This is my thing. This is what Advent Conspiracy is all about. It's just taking time to rethink the season, to allow Jesus to literally turn your Christmas upside down, at least upside down from the way the world sees Christmas, and to allow Him to guide you through this journey. Because as we talk about following Jesus, as you've heard me say time and time again, God's desire for us to follow Him, as we talk about following Jesus, it means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 if it's leap year, okay? Don't be like, hey, I got one day this year because it's leap year. I get one day off. Following Jesus means all the time. It's letting Him write your story this year. Letting Him show you how to live out Christmas the way that He intended for each of us to do that. And again, it's different for each of us. It starts by praying. It starts by talking. Talking with other people. Talking with your spouses. Talking with your family. It means being willing to sacrifice a little time. But in the end, the result will enable us to ultimately give more to those around us. To give the way that Jesus gave. To not just give presents, but to give our presence. To give all that we are to those people that we love and care about. That's what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for, Lord, just this series, for Your Word. And Lord, we want to rethink Christmas, at least from the idea of the culture around us. And Lord, I'm so thankful. I know many people in this room, Lord, they've been rethinking Christmas a lot over the last several years and really trying to figure out, what does Christmas look like? How do we make sure that Christmas isn't all about going in debt? It isn't all about the tinsel and the lights and Santa Claus and all those other things that the world makes Christmas about. How do we make sure that in the midst of what goes on in our culture, we make sure that Christmas ultimately is about You? And so, Lord, each of us has to come to that place in our own heart of what that means to us, what that looks like for our families. And so, Lord, in this time, we just pray that You would reveal those things to us, that You would help us just to stop and to think, what is Christmas really about? And how do we live that out in our lives right now in this time, in this season, Lord? And so we give it to You. We just thank You so much for Your love. We thank You so much for Your hand upon our life. And we just continue, Lord, to seek You. Because, Lord, we do want to follow You. We want to give our lives to You in a way that we live the way You desire us to live, not just at Christmas, Lord, but every day of our life. And so we thank You for these things. May You allow them to just penetrate our hearts and speak to each of us here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.